Lump, Part 2. Cotton Gleam didn't seem to notice, though.
Oh, if only you could have seen the old Crystal Empire. The proper Crystal Empire, a glorious people benevolently enslaved by the cruel King Zambra.
She took a deep, dreamy breath, then sighed.
Granted, we did not, strictly speaking, see it ourselves. The wondrous age of King Zambra was cut short more than 1,000 years before our time. All because of the vile hierarchy.
Princess Celestia and Prince Tiberius.
Brickleam explained quietly, as if not to steal his sister's thunder.
They banished him!
Cotton Gleam shrieked.
Banished!
She took a moment to catch her breath.
At least he did the proper thing, and took his rightful kingdom with him to a place where time stood still. Wait, did he actually take the entire Crystal Empire? King Zambra was trapped for 1,000 years, but then he and the Crystal Empire returned.
Cotton Gleam nodded sagely.
All seemed well until the sinister Princess Cadence and her husband Prince Dakimakura came along and savagely murdered him.
You know, I always feel that Somepony made a transliteration error with his name.
Brickley mused quietly.
He was foreign.
His sister hissed.
We've been over this!
She quickly cleared her throat.
Anyway, King Somber's tyranny ended, only to be replaced by love and kindness. The Crystal Empire grew soft. And then, do you know what happened then, son of Phyllis?
It's still Sprout.
Sprout thought, but didn't bother to point it out again.
Something even worse, like Free Puppies for All?
She gave him an open scowl.
And then they brought their spawn into this world, Princess Flurryhearts. And she was raised to be just and sweet.
How horrible?
Sprout tried, but he had genuine trouble understanding how these ponies ticked. Even his most demented daydreams about evil Pegasus ponies or unicorns had never come close to this warped view of the world.
It was.
She huffed.
You wouldn't have liked it.
Yeah, it sure sounds like a living nightmare.
He muttered and rolled his eyes when the siblings nodded in agreement.
So we did what any sane pony would have done.
He hesitated.
You tried to destroy magic?
Cotton Gleam blinked.
What? No, don't be absurd.
She exchanged bewildered looks with her brother.
We tried to murder her first.
Ah.
When that did not work, the spawn of Cadence exiled us from her little paradise.
She briefly gritted her teeth before shaking her head.
Anyway, then we destroyed magic.
Which is why we need you,
Brickley matted.
For, you see... Wait.
Sprout waved his hoof.
So far, you talked about wanting to destroy magic, but you did it?
He thought about the implications of that sentence.
You too are the reason why no pony had magic for generations and lived in fear and distrust of the other pony races.
You're welcome.
Brickleam seemed oddly proud.
This could have been me.
Sprout suddenly realized.
I had been like this. Not quite as insane and filled with the intent to murder some pony, mind you, but I'd wanted to keep magic out of our lives. I'd try to keep up the fear of the other races.
His mouth went dry.
Is this what the other ponies saw when they looked at me? An insane pony who would brag about how he kept magic out of this world and waged war on the other races? Would I have been proud if I had successfully stopped Sunny?
And now the time has come to repeat our act of heroism.
Wait, rewind a bit. Why did you destroy magic? What does that have to do with your home?
The Crystal Empire is anchored to this world by magic.
Cotton Gleam explained, even as her brother was looking increasingly impatient.
If this anchor is disrupted, the Crystal Empire returns to the void outside of time and space. That's how King Zambra managed to take it with him when he had been banished.
Oh.
Sprout said, but he was still deep in thought.
I had Sunny, her friends, and even Mommy to stop me. But who will stop them?
He groaned quietly when the answer hit him.
So, there you have it.
Brickleam stated.
That's why we need the lump. The lamp?
The lump.
Lamp?
Lump!
Why are you pronouncing that so weirdly?
Lump!
What lamp?
Lamp of a wagon!
Sprout squinted at that. The more he heard, the less he understood.
Lamp of a wagon?
He frowned.
Did they not teach you one blasted thing, you imbecile?
Brickleam roared. Then he reached into his saddlebags and pulled out a piece of paper. Sprout looked at the drawing on it and frowned. It depicted a desk lamp. Flat foot, thin neck, cone-shaped lampshade. No cord, oddly enough.
Oh, that looks familiar.
He muttered, and tried to remember where he had seen this design before. And then it hit him.
Oh, Alvangan, of course!
Oh, praise the makers!
Brickleam shouted, looking massively relieved.
Yes, the lump of Alvangan!
Sure, that, but why do you need an ugly desk lamp?
Brickleam seemingly went through the 5 stages of grief multiple times before taking a very deep breath.
Son, Aphilis, I need you to make a promise,
he finally whispered.
When you die and meet your ancestors, try to find out who failed their duties. And once you find that pony, slap them.
Right.
Sprout whispered back.
But my name is still Sprout. Calling some pony by their first name is a sign of respect.
Brickleam hissed.
So maybe you should start earning it.
Wow, guy's got some nerve. So should I start calling him Son of Cedar?
Sprout rolled his eyes, which, unlike his inner monologue, was something Brickleam noticed.
Is that your reaction to me telling you the ways of our people?
He snarled. And then, because being a jerk verbally wasn't enough, he actually tackled Sprout.
Hey, wait a second!
Sprout yelped, even as he hit the ground. He tried to scramble away, but the larger stallion placed a front hoof on his chest and applied just enough pressure to make his point.
Get. The. Lump.
The pressure increased ever so slightly.
Now. Yes, sorry!
Sprout whined. A part of him wanted to cry, not only because of the slight pain, but because everything about Brickley made him feel like a fool by comparison.
He's stronger, he's more determined, he's angrier. What could I possibly do against him? How am I supposed to stop him?
He sniffled.
I'm not the hero, I'm just a brat, a screw-up. Not good enough for sheriff, not even good enough for deputy, an idiot.
He froze when he saw the faintest hint of a chance.
But this guy may just be an even bigger idiot than me.
Sprout almost laughed when he realized what he had to do.
The fate of magic depends on me being the smartest pony in the room. The lamp's upstairs in the attic,
he heard himself say.
I'll get it. Make haste, Son of Phyllis.
Brickleam intoned and removed his hoof.
And see if you can also find a map of Equestria that still shows where Canterlot is.
Sprout opened the attic door and lowered the ladder attached to it. Then he climbed up. Much to his surprise, neither of the siblings followed him.
Maybe I could just make a run for it from here?
He frowned when he saw that the sole window allowing access to the roof would have been a tight fit for a medium-sized bird.
Yeah, okay, no. Quick question!
He shouted to buy himself some time.
What's the deal with Canterlot again?
Brickleam's groan was audible, even one floor up.
Canterlot, the capital of Equestria! Maybe it got renamed since we last went there.
A pause, followed by a sigh.
Go ahead, ask.
Why do you want to go there?
There was a quiet curse.
There's an ancient artifact that saturates Equestria with magic. It is so old that no pony knows its original name, or even if it has a name. Some call it the Trinity Crystal, others the Heart of Magic. It's a set of 3 crystals, and it's kept at the School for Gifted Unicorns.
That made Sprout blink, and he actually leaned down through the attic hatch.
Wait, the most important artifact in the history of this continent was kept at a school?
Cotton Gleam gave him a genuine shrug.
We are as surprised as you are, Son of Phyllis. You would expect something like this to be in some sort of high-security vault, but it had to be kept in the open, hanging proudly over a central arch in the main hallway. Princess Celestia either realized that the crystal set wouldn't work in a vault, or she tried to hide it in plain sight.
Brickleam nodded slowly to himself.
As you will travel with us, you will come to realize that there are some truly odd ponies out there.
Yeah, I kinda noticed that.
Sprout muttered as he pulled his head back. He started to shuffle through the boxes that had been stored up there here before his birth. None of them had been meant for his eyes, of course. It had just been pure coincidence that the hatch leading to the attic was in what later became his room. When he had been a fool, he had regarded the boxed items as secret treasures, wondering what stories were behind them. As he got older, though, he had started to view them as old junk. Some old books, he wasn't an avid reader, vinyl records, with music that had probably been old whenever his parents had been dating, and, well, assorted items. Discarded designs, spare parts, and prototypes. Of course, nothing that could be weaponized. Canterlogic's patented line of self-defense items was slightly too dangerous to be kept in an attic of the company founder's home. However, Canterlogic did supply Maritime Bay with affordable mass-produced consumer products. Kitchen appliances, DIY tools, and, well, desk lamps.
Alvangan,
he whispered when he found the box that he had first stumbled over years ago. The name had been scrawled onto a generic white, slightly too large box. He flipped it open and saw the first iteration of the lamp that could still be found on the shelves of Maritime Bay's Canterlogic shop to this day. He had always assumed that the lamp in this box was a proof of concept or a design dummy. The lack of a cord was a dead giveaway that this lamp had probably never worked.
But I thought that mommy or maybe her parents had designed it.
He narrowed his eyes.
Not that it was named after some pony called Alvangan or whatever.
Son of Phyllis!
Oh, for the love of...
Yes, I got it!
Thanks, Sprouts. What do you do? And why do these crazed ponies need this lamp anyway?
Suppose there's only one way to find out.
He climbed down carefully, holding the lamp in one hoof.
Here, this is probably what you're-
Yes!
Bricklaim exclaimed, and his sister was beaming as well.
Oh, the sleek design, the black base, the white lampshade, simplicity meets perfection.
You know,
Sprout said,
if this whole Banish the Crystal Empire gig doesn't work out for you, we might hire you into the Cantalogic marketing team.
Bricklaim didn't even seem to hear him.
Now to see if this truly is the Lamp of Alvagan.
He put it on the floor and carefully poked the small on and off switch on the base. Whatever they're gonna do with that desk lamp is probably not gonna be good. Anywho, let's get on to our not-so-crazy donators. Top donators are 630, Peter Coulthard, J Tin Man, Darkside, Only One Thing, and Dash of Evergreen. Raiden, Normals, Black Moonheart, Pastel Skies, Austin Rollins, CrazyColor557, Stu Heck, Swordbrother and Mordred, Omicron Library, Will, Chris, Twinkie, Hudsaza, Rydsel, Maverick, and many more awesome people. Thank you all so much for watching this video, and live life to the fullest.